Thank you for making this sure about me, by the way.
For sure. Yeah, it's time. Yeah, for sure. You just have to, do you have your candies? Not yet.
Every morning.
Every morning, there you go. Candied peppers and eggs.
Shem's candies, blueberries.
Okay. Alright, so again, it's good to be back.
Good to have you back, thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's
great. It's a long-standing.
It's mutual, yeah. Okay, so this, today's shiur, I'm going to talk about growth mindset. So for starters, I know you guys are clearly very educated. Has anybody heard of growth mindset? Fixed mindset? You've heard of these concepts?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. How, where did you hear about them?
Usually in the success books.
Right. Like
how to
be successful.
How to think and grow rich. You have to have a mindset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So these concepts have become pretty popular, and as you mentioned, they've been used in different contexts. The original research was from a psychologist named Carol Dweck, probably Jewish, who's in Stanford, and she did a lot of studies on this. She did a lot of studies. She wrote a book called Mindset, which I recommend. It's a really excellent book. And I would say probably Mindset. Yeah. Mindset by Carol Dweck. Small book. It's like, I don't know, 200 pages or something. And it's an easy read. It's like one of these recent books where they basically hold the whole book is like stories about different people. Yeah, so Mindset. Honestly, I say probably 80 to 90% of my own therapy cases, I probably use the principles in her book. So it's, I've benefited from her and her research tremendously. So let's get into this a little bit. Obviously, it's a whole book, and I can't do it justice. Carol Dweck. Yeah. Yeah. So, what is a growth mindset? What's a fixed mindset? So, she did a lot of research. And what she found is that she could put people into these two categories, growth mindset, fixed mindset. Growth mindset, let's start with fixed mindset. Fixed mindset means a person believes that their own talents, abilities, potential, you know, what who they are and what they can accomplish is pretty much fixed. It's pretty much said, you know, maybe they can push it a little bit, but it's pretty much said from, you know, genetic factors, environmental factors, whatever it is, you know, you're either smart or you're not. You can't, maybe you could push your score on the SAT or on the whatever it is up a few points, but you're not going to go from, you know, getting an F to getting an A. It's just not going to happen, right? If you're not smart, you're not smart. And she taught, a lot of her research was about intelligence, so she related it to IQ, but it really goes for anything, right? My abilities as, you know, my ability to learn, my ability to accomplish, my ability to affect people, right? So fixed mindset is basically have a certain level and, you know, you can't really go past that level. Growth mindset, on the other hand, is goofa the opposite, that I believe that I really have limitless potential, my abilities and talents, I'm able to grow significantly, not just a little bit, not just push myself a little bit past where I think I am, but really significantly past. I think right. I mean, I think everybody understands that they can push themselves a little bit past where they think they can, right. but to really believe that you can go a lot further than where you are, that takes work, and that's the growth mindset. So in her book, so you might hear this and say, well, either I have a growth mindset or I have a fixed mindset, which is exactly a fixed mindset. Exactly, right. So if I don't have a growth mindset, then I can't do anything.
Like,
so she says,
saying, if you believe you can do it, you can. If you don't believe you can do it, you're right.
exactly. Right. That's self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Right. You believe what you think about yourself. So So she, in her book, she spends a whole chapter talking about how we can actually cultivate and build a growth mindset in ourselves. If we don't have a growth mindset, let's say we are in the fixed mindset, how can we actually transition ourselves and give ourselves a growth mindset? So she she, again, she did a lot of research, a lot of studies. And so one of the studies, which was amazing, she went to a school and she took a group of kids and she split them into two separate groups. She gave them these IQ puzzles, so basically these puzzles where they had to either put pieces together to form an image or choose which pieces they had to put together to form a puzzle. And so she gave them each 10 fairly easy puzzles. They all did the puzzles. And then she gave them harder puzzles. And the two groups, the only difference that they introduced, the researchers, were what they said to the kids after they finished those first 10 puzzles. So they all did those 10 pretty easy puzzles, or pretty easy, but, you know, somewhat hard. And then one group, they praised their ability. So they said, wow, you did all those puzzles, you got them all right, you must be really smart. The other group, they didn't say, wow, you must be really smart. They said, wow, you must have worked really hard on that to get it right. So they praised the effort and not the ability or the achievement. That was the only difference. Then they gave them significantly harder puzzles, like really hard puzzles. And then they saw what happened. And she said, it was amazing. She said, and these are the same, you know, they tested them before probably to make sure all the kids had the same basic IQ. Right. Exactly right. So that all, you know. Sorry?
You showed the ones that were praised for their effort were able to complete the harder puzzles.
They were able to, not necessarily able to complete that. Exactly. They took the challenge of doing the harder puzzles. They said, yeah, I'll do the harder puzzles. Let me try them. And they kept trying them. And, yeah, probably at the beginning they didn't get them, but they kept pushing and they kept trying. And eventually they got it. The kids who were praised for their ability and said, oh, you're so smart, when they saw the harder puzzles, they said, oh, I don't really want to do that. You know, I'm not going to be able to do it. Right? You would think, so if you stop and think, you would say, it's the opposite. The kids who are praised for being smart, they would think, I'm smart, so let me do this harder puzzle. And the kids who are praised for their effort, you know, maybe they would do it, maybe they wouldn't. So what she hypothesized, which I think is true, is that because the kids who were praised for their ability, saying they're smart, so when they had a harder problem, what would happen if they tried hard and they didn't get it? What would that say about them?
They have a problem if they tried and did, but they're done.
Right.
They're not as smart as they
exactly,
thought.
Exactly, right. So because if they tried and they didn't succeed, that would tell them, that would give them the implicit message that they weren't smart, right. So they didn't even want to do it. Because if their whole self-perception is that I'm smart, I'm not going to get myself into things where I'm going to look stupid or I'm going to reinforce in myself that I'm stupid, right? As opposed to the other kids, the other group of kids, where they were praised for their effort. So even if they tried and they didn't get the puzzle in the end, but they tried. And therefore, when they were praised for the effort, that was the ikkar, right? That was the key. And that's why they were willing to do the harder puzzles. Okay? And then she went a step further. And this is the really amazing part. She said that after they gave them the hard puzzles, then they went back and gave them easier puzzles again. And she said, this is like unbelievable, she said the kids who were praised for their ability, for their smarts, they actually did worse even on the easier puzzles, because now they had the ones who had tried to do the harder puzzles, right, now they said, well, I'm stupid because I can't do the harder puzzles, so now they did even worse on the easy puzzles. And she went even further. The study must have taken a while. After the study, she had each group, she said, I'm going to do this study in other schools. I want each of you to write just a paragraph about the study and about what you guys did and how you did, so that I could show it to the other kids that I'm going to do this study with in the other school, didn't I? So she said, this is amazing, she said they wrote down what happened, and she said 40% of the kids who had been praised for their ability, the ones who had been told you're smart, actually lied about their scores.
Wow.
They actually said that they got higher. They couldn't even admit to themselves that they, you know, they didn't get those harder puzzles.
That's crazy.
So, and this is all within, you know, probably an hour. This is not beaten into them for life, you know, over and over, you're smart, or, you know, this sort of mindset. This is from one study, which probably took place, so I think she said they were fourth graders, right? So over 1 hour, and just based on how they were praised and what they focused on, that could change their perception of themselves so drastically. So that was Dweck's study. And
so
Yeah.
Someone mentioned to us, I wonder if you've seen this to be true,
yeah.
that smarter people, like very smart people, have a harder time with self-confidence than average people.
Because they didn't have to try, right?
Because they didn't have to try, or because they base their self-worth on results.
Right. 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 So if they don't get the results. In my own work?
Yeah.
To a degree, yeah. Yeah. I think it really depends on how they were raised and what kind of messages they got as kids. Meaning you could have really smart people who were not solely praised for their, you know, natural abilities. And then yeah. Yeah. I mean she in her book she brings all these examples of these highly successful people who, you know, either crashed or either inside they like were completely, you know, messed up. I mean, even though to the outside world, yeah, depressed, whatever, mental health issues and whatever, because of this mindset. You know, all these child prodigies that, you know, these violinists and these painters and all these people who were, you know, even as little kids, they were saying, "Oh, you're amazing, you're this,"
yeah,
and then when they got older, they couldn't.
Completely off topic, but I think that's one of the.
Yeah.
It's
just my hypothesis why LA has such a big homeless problem.
Interesting.
I believe.
I've never heard this theory. Okay, yeah, let's hear it.
It's a stretch, but
okay.
I believe that a lot of people come to LA with a dream to become successful in acting and singing because they're told so much as kids that they're good and they could be anything. So they put all their eggs in one basket. When they come to LA, it's like that for nothing.
Mm.
They don't have a plan B.
Right.
They truly believe that, you know, they can become successful. So they come to LA and they get hit by reality.
Wow.
They have nothing to fall on. They have no legs to lean on. So
right.
They just crash.
Right.
You should do a survey.
Wow.
Surveying all these
yeah, go around
theory,
that ask.
But,
see if
know,
they have like fixed mindset or the growth mindset.
Theory, but, you know.
No, I hear. That definitely makes sense.
Higher body guarding.
Okay, so. So that was the psych intro. So that was Dweck's study. But where it really gets meaningful for us, right, for Jews, is that this is actually this chiluk between praising or rewarding effort and praising and rewarding ability is actually how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how Hashem treats us. So Hashem is the master psychologist, obviously, and he wants to instill in us this growth mindset. So I brought a few sources. Look at source 2. So this is the Torah Tumima in Parashas Vayeshev. He quotes a Medrash Rabba in Sefer Bamidbar. And it goes like this. Source 2. Kol makom sha'adam yaga v'nosei nafsho al hadavar. Whenever, in whatever situation, a person really toils and puts his soul into something, really works at it, really puts in effort, so what happens? Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach schara. Hashem will not withhold his schar. Meaning he'll give him schar, he'll give him reward for putting in the effort. What's the example? For putting in the effort, and even if he doesn't accomplish the end goal in the end. What's the perfect example? What do we call the Beis HaMikdash? We call it Beis David, right? But who built the Beis HaMikdash, the first one? Shlomo, right? So this is the Medrash says, Shlomo bana Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo actually built it. U'bishvil shenasan David es nafsho adavar zeh. But David was put in so much effort and so much toil to try and build it, right? He bought the land from, he bought the Makom HaMikdash, he prepared the materials, he had such a desire to build it, and he really did a lot of things to prepare it for being built, Adavar Zeh. Karo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Shemo. So Hashem called it Beis David. Hada Hu Dechsev, Mizbar Sher Chanukas Habayis, Le David. Le Shlomo Lo Ne'emar, Ela Le David. Right? We say, Mizbar Sher Chanukas Habayis Le David. Even the consecration of the Beis HaMikdash was actually put under the heading of David. Having notzer teina yachol piria. Right. Yeah?
The gates only open in the name of David.
The name of David. Exactly. Right. Exactly. It's the same thing. That because David really put an effort and he put so much of his heart and soul into it, even though at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow him to build it. He said it has to be your son Shlomo. But he still gave him, as we see from other sources, the schar, and he gave him the reward for having that effort and putting in that work to build it. And I'm sure many of you have heard this Chavetz Chaim about Anu Amelim Umekablim Sachar Vehem Amelim Einer Umekablim Sachar, right? This is one of the lines we say in a Siyam, right? That we say that we conscious us ourselves with the rest of the world. So we say, Anu Ratzim Vehem Ratzim, right? We run to good things, they run to bad things. Anu Amelim Umekablim Schar, we toil and we get reward. Vehem Amelim Vehem Umekablim Schar, right? They toil and they don't get reward. So the obvious question is, what do you mean they don't get reward, right? All these non-Jewish people who are enjoying life tremendously, right? So obviously they do get reward. So the Chafetz Chaim famously says, no, it means Anu Amelim Umekablim Schar Al Hamela. We toil, and even if we don't achieve the end result, we still get Schar from Hashem for toiling, for putting in the hard work. Whereas in society, it's all based on achievement. It's all based on, did you actually accomplish the goal? If you didn't accomplish the goal, you're not going to get paid, you're not going to get rewarded, right? The Chavis Chaim gives a mashal. If you hire a contractor or a worker to make you something, right? Let's say to a tailor to custom make you a suit, and he works and he sews and he really puts in all his work, and then at the end he gives it to you and it's missing one of the arms, right? So you're not going to pay him. What do you mean? I commissioned you to make me a suit. You didn't make me a suit. It's missing one of the arms. So he'll say, what? But I worked so hard on it. I sewed, I bought the material, I did this, I did that. So Lemaisa, when it comes to the rest of the world, there's no reward for effort necessarily. It's all based on achievement. It's all based on what you do at the end. If you look at, let's just skip to source 5. This sums it up really, really perfectly. Malcolm Gladwell, as a society, we value natural, effortless accomplishment over achievement through effort. Read, and he brings examples. We endow our heroes with superhuman abilities that led them inevitably toward their greatness. It's as if Midori popped out of the womb fiddling. I'm not familiar. I guess it's a famous fiddler, Midori. Anybody familiar? Yeah. Michael Jordan dribbling, that I'm familiar with. And Picasso doodling. Right? So society basically looks at these heroes, you know, quote, unquote, and says, oh, they had these abilities, you know, all these people were just born this way. They were born with these superhuman abilities, and that's why they're great. And Lemaisa, I don't know about the other people, but I know for sure Michael Jordan, you know, all these stories about how he didn't make his, he didn't make the varsity team in high school, and they basically said he's not going to amount to anything, right? So even this example that he brings, he worked hard at it. It wasn't like he was born that way. I mean, obviously he had talents, but he definitely had to work hard to cultivate those, and it wasn't just a given that he was going to be this great player. So let's go back to source 4. Source 4, this is another example of how we get, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master growth mindset enabler, and how he gives us schar for effort. It's the quote, the last line in the fifth parak of Maseches Avos, the fum tsara agra, right? Based on the tsar, based on the toil, the hard work, is the schar, is the reward. So most Rishonim say what it means is that, like when it comes to learning Torah, when it comes to doing something, the harder you work at it, the more reward you'll get. But there are some Rishonim, like the Tosos Yom Tov, ze bischar hatzar v'atoreach atzmo, that we get schar for the actual tircha, for putting in all that work, all that effort. So we see that this growth mindset is not just, you know, for psychologists, for Carol Dweck, but really it's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us. He doesn't want us to believe that our abilities and our mission in life is sort of set and it's only in a prescribed box and we can't go further. He wants us to believe that we could do great things and we could accomplish great things, and therefore he gives us reward for the effort. So let me end with a story about Rav Steinman, or Aaron Leib Steinman. Not this one. So and you might have heard the story. It was going around about 4 or 5 months ago. I think there was one Shabbos where I think maybe the story was told like twice here. Maybe I think Rabbi Stern used it in the drasha, and then somebody sees it at Tashkent. So it definitely got around. But it's an amazing story. So the story goes: a boy who grew up Haredi in Bnei Brak, went off the derech and he left the faith, and he basically stopped keeping mitzvot. He wasn't really observing anything, and he ended up going, he left his family and he went to live by a non-frum relative in, I believe, Tel Aviv, like an uncle or something. Okay, so he was going, you know, he was doing his thing, wasn't keeping anything. And then he started seeing a non-Jewish girl and they got close and he planned to marry her. So the uncle, who himself wasn't frum at all, he was chiloni, but that already was too much for him. You know, to, you can, you know, you don't have to keep mitzvahs, but to marry a non-Jewish girl, that's already, that's past the line. So the uncle tried to convince the boy not to marry the girl. He said, you know, you can't marry her, your kids are not going to be Jewish, you can't do this, this is already way too much. And the boy said, no, you know, I love her, I'm going to marry her, that's it. So the uncle said, okay, so I can't change your mind about marrying this girl, but at the very least, just go back to your parents in Bnei Brak and just tell them what you're doing. You know, let them know that you're basically, that their grandkids are not going to be Jewish anymore. So surprisingly, the boy agreed. He said, okay, I'll go back, I'll spend a day or two with my parents, I'll tell them what I'm doing, and then I'm going to go off and live the rest of my life with this woman. So he went back for a Shabbos, but he made it clear to his parents that I'm not, you know, keeping Shabbos like I did as a kid and like you are. I'll stay with you for Shabbos, and I'm gonna, you know, do my own thing. And Kachava, you know, he spent Friday night, you know, out on the porch smoking on his phone, didn't join them for meals, didn't go to shul, nothing. You know, he was there, but he basically was living as he had been living on his own. And then Shabbos afternoon, his father happened to be going out, and he turned to his son and he said, you know, I'm going to shir before Mincha, do you want to come? And the son said, who's giving the shir? So he said, Rav Aaron Lev Steinman. So the son said, okay, I'll come. So the father was very surprised, like, what, you know, you haven't been keeping Shabbos the whole time, like, why would you come to a shir from Steinman? So he said, okay, fine. So he came, he sat in the shir the whole time. And then after the shir, you know, I guess everybody came up to Rav Steinman and said good Shabbos, so the father and the son went up to him also. And Rav Steinman saw that he wasn't, you know, I guess probably he was wearing jeans and, you know, he wasn't wearing Shabbos clothes. So, and I guess the father mentioned to him, you know, he hasn't been keeping Shabbos over the past few years. So Rav Steinman turned to the boy and he said, how long have you not been keeping Shabbos for? So he said, about 2 years. So he said, and during those 2 years, did you ever think, maybe I should come back, maybe I should start observing mitzvahs? So the boy said, yeah, a few times. So he said, how many times? So he said, four. And he said, and during those 4 times, how long were they? So he said, about 10 minutes. So Steinman said, he said, okay, so in the past 2 years, you, for 40 minutes, you were in the place, right? The Gemara says, "V'makom shebalei tshuva omdim ein tzadikim gurim yicholim lamo." That balei tshuva have a certain level where they can reach while they're in the process of tshuva, or even after that, that even tzadikim gurim can't reach. So he said, "You were in that place for 40 minutes over these 2 years. You know, I envy you. I want to be in that place also." And he said, "Good Shabbos," and he left. And then the story goes that, you know, Rav Steinman's words to him that Shabbos really stayed with him, and he was thinking about them, and he was thinking about what he was going to do, marrying this girl. And, you know, he thought about it. It was bothering him. It was tearing him up. And then eventually he broke off the engagement with this girl. And slowly, slowly he came back. And I guess today he's from again, and he's living with a family. So they asked him afterwards, they said, it's a great story, but what made you, when your father asked you if you wanted to go to the shir, what made you say yes? You know, the whole Shabbos you were not doing anything, so why would you go to the shir? So he said, because when I was in fourth grade in the cheder, I was in this super charedi cheder in Bnei Brak, and my Rebbe took us to Rav Steinman for him to test us on Mishnayos. And the Rebbe told Rav Steinman, ask each of the boys easy questions that they'll be able to answer easily, and then, you know, they'll all get the questions, and then they'll all be happy, and he'll give them some reward. So Rav Steinman went through each boy, he asked easy questions, they all got it, and after each boy got a question, he would give them a candy. Then he came to this boy, who I guess wasn't so bright, or maybe had, you know, learning disorders or ADHD, whatever it was. He clearly didn't remember the Mishnayos that they learned. So he asked, Rav Steinman asked him an easy question, couldn't get it. He asked him an easier question, still couldn't get it. Asked him a really easy question, still couldn't get it. And then, you know, and then the class basically finished with Rishlaiman and they were walking out, and as the whole class was almost out the door, Rishlaiman motioned to this boy to come over. He said, come here. And he bent down to him and he said, so this is the quote that I brought here, number six. He says, with Torah and Yiddishkeit, we receive a reward according to how hard we try, not according to the results. All the other boys tried hard to answer one question, so they got one candy. But you tried to answer three questions, so you get three. And with a smile, he handed the boy three candies. And the boy said that experience, when he was in fourth grade, made him actually say yes to his father many years later when his father asked him to come to the shir, and that eventually was what got him back on the derech. So, yeah, so it's incredible story for many reasons, but the point that I want to bring out is exactly what we've been saying the whole time, that Rav Steinman stressed this, that I'm giving you reward, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us reward for trying, I'm giving you reward for trying, and don't believe, you know, I'm sure this kid at that point had internalized the message that, you know, I can't remember Mishnayos, I can't learn well, so I'm just stupid, I'm not worth it, I can't do anything. So Steinman at that point in fourth grade was already introducing the growth mindset to this kid and how you can think of yourself differently. You can think of yourself in a different way if you try hard. And that's what we believe in Yadus and Mirza Hashem. That should, you know, with society now, and as I quoted in number five, the whole, you really feel it, the whole society is all based on how can we do everything as quickly, as effortlessly as we can and just get the results, right? That's really the whole perspective of technology, right? How can we do everything without minimal effort as quickly and as easily as possible? So we're really fighting against society. Society tells us, do things as quick, as effortlessly as you can, and then if you get the end result, that's the best thing. And we have to really strengthen ourselves and be mechazik ourselves and say, no, we believe the opposite. We believe it's not just that it's that we get reward from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but as Dweck shows us, it's actually better for our mental health. It's better to work hard and to believe that you can work hard and accomplish than just try to do things as easily as possible. So Mirza Hashem, we should take this to heart, and we can all instill this growth mindset in ourselves and in the people that we meet. Yeah.